Hebrews chapter 7. And just want to exalt our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, this morning. And Hebrews, of course, does that in a beautiful way, presenting Christ as our great high priest. And praise God for that. So here in verse 22 of Hebrews chapter 7, and we'll read down through verse 28, the end of the chapter. So the Bible says, "By so much was Jesus made a surety of a better testament. And they truly were many priests, because they were not suffered to continue by reason of death. But this man, because he continueth ever, hath an unchangeable priesthood. Wherefore, he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. For such an high priest became us, who is holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, and made higher than the heavens, who needeth not daily, as those high priests, to offer up sacrifice, first for his own sins and then for the people's. For this he did once, when he offered up himself. For the law maketh men high priests which have infirmity, but the word of the oath, which was since the law, maketh the Son, who is consecrated forevermore." So, to the uttermost. To the uttermost is our title. Let's pray. Lord, we love you so much. We thank you for Jesus and the privilege we have to assemble around him this morning and around his word. And pray now that he would be lifted up in our time, and Lord, that in our hearts we'd lift him up as we look into your word together. Use the word through the power of the Holy Ghost to speak to each one of us and work miracles in our lives. We thank you and pray all this in the name of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. So notice here in verse 22, the Bible talks about a better testament. God himself refers to the New Testament as a better testament than the Old Testament. Of course, that's because the Old Testament is primarily the law. And the law was as our schoolmaster to bring us to Christ. The New Testament is all about the Savior who died and rose again for us. And what that means. I know this morning at 10 o'clock we started a new series on the commandments of the New Testament in order as they appear, and then we're studying each one. It'll be a great study because the Bible says, if you love me, keep my commandments. Well, what are they? And Jesus Christ established a New Testament, but it's a better testament. And this word better is very important in the book of Hebrews. I want to show you. Look up at verse 12 of Hebrews 7. The Bible says, "For the priesthood being changed, there is made of necessity a change also of the law." We have a new law, and that's the law of Jesus Christ here in the New Testament. Look at verse 19. "For the law made nothing perfect, but bringing in of a better hope did, by the which we draw nigh unto God." A better hope. And then over in chapter 8, look at verse 6. "But now hath he obtained a more excellent ministry, by how much also he is the mediator of a better covenant, which was established upon better promises." God wrote this. So he talks about a better testament and a better hope and better covenant and better promises. Look over in chapter 9, verse 23. The Bible says, "It was therefore necessary that the patterns of things in the heavens should be purified with these, but the heavenly things themselves with better sacrifices than these." There is no better sacrifice than the sacrifice of the perfect Son of God. And then over in chapter 11, verse 16, turn over there if you would. "But now they deserve a better country, which is a heavenly. Wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he hath prepared for them a city." And then Hebrews 11, verse 35, "Women received their dead, and others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection." Hebrews presents Jesus Christ as the great high priest, but he's the better priest. He's the one that brought in the better covenant with based on better promises and better sacrifices. This is Jesus we're talking about this morning. And Hebrews chapter 7 is primarily introducing Jesus Christ as Melchizedek, the Old Testament priest that met Abraham when he returned from rescuing Lot and his family. And the Bible says that here earlier in the chapter that he was a very unique priest, as we'll see. That's Jesus. a high priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. So what makes him so special? We're going to see that here in this chapter. So look down at verse 24. But this man, because he continueth ever, hath an unchangeable priesthood. He continueth ever. That can't be said of Old Testament priests. They died. But Jesus lives forever. Only one person could hold this position because he had to be perfect and he had to be eternal. And that's Jesus. Look up at verse 3. This is describing Melchizedek. It says, without father, without mother, without descent, having neither beginning of days nor end of life, but made like unto the Son of God, abideth the priest continually. What this means is in the Old Testament, when Melchizedek appeared to Abraham, that was Jesus. It had to be. What other man would be without father, without mother, without descent, with no beginning and no end? There's no one else who meets that criteria. And that's what one of the Old Testament appearances of Jesus Christ. It's not the only one. But he appeared to Abraham. Think about how long ago that was. And actually received tithes of Abraham, we're told earlier in the chapter. And he was called not only Melchizedek, but he was also called the King of Salem. And by the way, Salem became called Jerusalem, the city of peace. That's Jesus, who will one day sit on a throne in that very city. But it says there in verse 17, look down there, for he testified, thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. This is Jesus. And one of the reasons why he has the power to save to the uttermost is, number one, because he's eternal. He continueth ever, as we see there in verse 24. But also it says there in verse 25, wherefore he is able also. Jesus Christ is the only one that is able to save us to the uttermost. No one else could have died on the cross for man's sins, because every other person has sinned. But Jesus Christ is able because of who he is, because he is God in the flesh. He is able to do all things because of his person. And one of the things he's able to do, as we see here, is to save mankind to the uttermost. Hallelujah. He's able. And that is a great phrase. Look at Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20. And I just want us to be reminded this morning that this eternal priest, Melchizedek, the Lord Jesus Christ, Jehovah in the flesh, is able to do anything. Look at Ephesians 3, verse 20. The Bible says, now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we could ask or think, or all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. That's Jesus. The one that is able to do abundantly above all that we ask or think. And then over in 2 Timothy 1:12, turn over there if you would, talking about how Jesus Christ is able to do all things. Notice 2 Timothy 1:12, for the which cause I also suffer these things, nevertheless I'm not ashamed, for I know whom I believed, and I am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. Jesus Christ, who is able to save to the uttermost, is also able to do all things abundantly above, but he's specifically able to keep us, to keep that which I've committed unto him, my salvation. He's able to keep it. And then Jude 24, if you turn there, we'll look at one more. And so Jesus Christ can save to the uttermost because he's eternal and because he is the only one that is able. Look at Jude verse 24, where the Bible says, now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. Does anyone in this room have the power to present themselves faultless before God's throne? Of course not. But Jesus does. The Bible says he is able to keep us from falling, and he is able to present us before the throne faultless because of his faultlessness. So he's able. He's able to save to the uttermost. Hallelujah. There's no one that's beyond being saved. It's every person's choice, of course. But it doesn't matter how much of a sinner, it doesn't matter where they live, it doesn't matter anything. Because Jesus, when he died on the cross, the Bible says he died for the sins of the whole world. And he is willing to save to the uttermost. That's why he came. He tells us in Luke chapter 19, the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. Jesus came to save to the uttermost. Paul said, this is a faithful saying worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. He came to save. Came to save, praise God, to the uttermost. The Bible says in 1 John 4:14, the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. So the Bible teaches here that the Lord Jesus Christ, the great high priest Melchizedek, is able to save to the uttermost because he's eternal. Because of his person, he's able. Go on down to verse 25. It says that come unto God by him. It's just two words, but they're very important words, aren't they? There's no other way to come to God but by him. Now, the world wants to teach us, and that's the devil motivating it, that there's other ways to God. There's other prophets. There's other people we can follow. There's other churches. There's other ways. But no, there's only one way to God, and that's through Jesus. That's it. That is the only way that we can come unto God, by him, the Bible says. And Jesus said the same, did he not, in John 14:6? He said, I am the way and the truth and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Jesus made it very clear that there is no other way. If you go to John chapter 10, we'll see it as well, where Jesus refers to himself as the door. John 10:9. Turn over there, please. What he's saying is there's only one door to heaven. The one that can save to the uttermost is the only one that can save to the uttermost, because he is the only door. Notice John 10:9. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture. He's not one of the doors. He's the door. He is the way, the truth, the life. The only way to come unto God is through Jesus Christ, the great high priest. When Peter was preaching in Acts 4, he says, neither is there salvation in any other. There is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved, in Acts 4:12. There's none other name. It's only by the name of Jesus that we can ever hope to see God, because he is the one that's able to save to the uttermost. Notice verse 25 as well in our passage. He ever liveth to make intercession for them. So Jesus Christ is able to save to the uttermost because he is eternal, because he is all-powerful, and because he intercedes for us as our great high priest. Notice Romans 8, chapter 8, verse 34, if you would, please. This is a ministry of Jesus that is often overlooked. This intercessory ministry where Jesus Christ chose to be the go-between in heaven for you and for me. We read in Job, don't we, where the devil appears and tries to accuse Job. Well, the Bible calls him the accuser of the brethren, but for us in the New Testament, when the devil tries, Jesus is there as our intercessor, as our intermediary. Notice in Romans 8:34, who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Notice he's at the right hand of God making intercession for you and for me. The Bible tells us, 1 Timothy 2:5, there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. There's only one mediator. And that is another reason why he's able to save to the uttermost. Not only because he's eternal, not only because he's all-powerful, but because he is our intercessor and our only mediator. And by the way, there are a lot of people out there who believe that their church is the mediator. That they can trust the church to tell them how to get to heaven, and they can trust the church to get them to heaven. But it's not in the Bible, is it? There's only one mediator. It's Jesus. It's not some creed that man's come up with, and it's not some organization that man's come up with. It's Jesus. And it's not Jesus' mother either, by the way. I'll just throw that in there. It's only Jesus. He is the only mediator. He is the only way, and he is the only one that's powerful enough to save to the uttermost. Now, another reason, verse 26, for such an high priest became us who is holy. You know, there's no one else that can be said of, that he is holy. Turn to Romans or Revelation 15, if you would, verse 4, and I want to show you this. The Bible makes it very clear that only God is holy. Look at Revelation 15, verse 4. Notice what God says. Who shall not fear thee, O Lord, and glorify thy name, for thou only art holy. Which, by the way, Jesus is called the Holy One. That must mean he is God, which he is. He can save us to the uttermost because he is the only one that's holy. Hallelujah. We are so blessed that the Holy One, the Lord Jesus Christ, was willing to sacrifice himself for you and for me, and then to go to heaven to intercede for us as our great high priest. And he's able to do that because he is all powerful, because he is holy, because he is eternal and willing to intercede. But notice my favorite, verse 27, who needeth not daily, as though those high priests to offer up sacrifice, first for his own sins and then for the people's. For this he did once when he offered himself. The Old Testament priesthood was not meant to save people from hell. It was meant to show people that we can't save ourselves. And that blood is required for sin. When we get to heaven, we'll be able to ask God how much blood was shed. Can you imagine? The millions and the millions and the millions of innocent lambs and cows and doves that were sacrificed for centuries. All that blood for what? To show us that it takes blood. Hebrews 9:22, without shedding of blood, there is no remission. Jesus, unlike the Old Testament high priest, did not have to offer a sacrifice first for his own sins because he didn't have any. The Old Testament priest, before he could go in the once a year on the Day of Atonement and make sacrifice for the people in the Holy of Holies, before he could do all of that, first he had to make sacrifice for himself. And he had to put blood on himself and wash himself because he's a sinner. Jesus didn't have to do any of that. Because Jesus was holy, and when he offered his sacrifice, that was the last and only one. Amen? The high priest went every year, every year, every year. That's why when Jesus died on the cross and said, "It is finished," the Bible says that the curtain, if you will, that was in between the holy place and the Holy of Holies was rent from top to bottom. That was God saying that the way is now open, that you and I have access to the throne of Almighty God because of Jesus. It's beautiful. But what it's saying is that his sacrifice was all sufficient and eternally sufficient. And it only had to be done once. You know, there's people that believe that every Sunday they are re-sacrificing Jesus. They believe that if they take communion, that the wafer is becoming the literal body of Christ and that the drink is becoming the literal blood of Christ. This says once. Amen? Once. One time. He offered once. That word is an important word in Hebrews, especially look in chapter 9 of Hebrews, verse 12. One of the key words of this chapter is this word once. Because it tells us Jesus only had to die once and sacrifice himself once. Notice verse 12 of Hebrews 9. Neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. Look at verse 26. For then must he often have suffered since the foundation of the world, but now once in the end of the world hath he appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. Verse 28. For so Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many, And unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. Look at Hebrews 10:10. By the which will we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. Once. Why? Because it was completely all sufficient. It's all that we needed to be saved. It doesn't ever have to happen again. It's once for eternity. The sins of mankind have been paid for. The blood of the perfect God in the flesh, Jesus Christ, was shed once and then offered once, as we saw in the holy place. And it was accepted. God was propitiated. Man was reconciled forever. Once. Because of all this, because Jesus Christ is eternal, because he is able to do all things, he's all powerful, because he intercedes for us, because he's the only holy one, and was willing to once offer himself and his blood for our sins, he is able to save to the uttermost. I don't know if you've ever heard it before, but I've heard people say before, you know, I can't be saved, I'm too big of a sinner. There's no such thing. You know, the greatest missionary outside of Christ that ever lived committed murder? The Apostle Paul. Think about that. Did you know the man that the Bible says was a man after God's own heart committed murder? His name was David. Did you know the man that the Bible says was the meekest man on the whole earth, and the Bible says that he actually appeared to Jesus Christ on the Mount of Transfiguration, committed murder? His name was Moses. And that's why he had to flee to the desert, because he killed someone. So, isn't that interesting? That those three great men all committed murder, and they're in heaven. Because I hear people say, oh, but, you know, what about Hitler? What about people that have committed all these sins? God doesn't rate sin, first of all. If you've ever lied one time, you're a wicked sinner that deserves to go to hell. And second of all, we've all sinned hundreds and thousands of times. And when Jesus died on that cross and shed his blood, as it says, once, he offered that blood, he offered the sacrifice of himself, and God was satisfied that the sins of all mankind, the Bible says, 1 John 2:2, he is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. Every single sin was paid for. And if we will repent and trust him as our Savior, he will save us. Anybody. To the uttermost. I love that, to the uttermost. It makes me think of Brother Goldthorpe in Mongolia. I would call that an uttermost place. Those people can be saved. Anybody can be saved if they will but accept the sacrifice of the New Testament Melchizedek, the great high priest, the Lord Jesus Christ, the one who is able to do all things, the one who is the only holy one, the one who's willing to intercede for us in heaven. If they will be willing to accept that sacrifice for their sins by trusting him, they can be saved. You know, it should make us that much more grateful for what we have in Christ. Amen. Because he did it willingly. Never forget that. At any moment he could have said, that's it. I'm not going to do it. Man, all of mankind can go to hell. And by the way, if he would have chosen to do that, he is God. And he would have been fully justified in allowing every one of us to go to hell. It was only because of his love that he was willing to go through with it. Never forget. There's no greater love than a man lay down his life for his friends. Amen? That's Jesus. Willing to save to the uttermost. Let's pray. Lord, thank you so much for